prophet Jeremiah is sometimes called the weeping prophet, because of the way he addressed his community in a very difficult time. He often spoke in the literary form of the lamentation, to lament, to grieve. He was profoundly sad about the state of the world and what was happening to the people that he loved. And so he's often portrayed in this grievous kind of way. And if you look at the picture I offered you, this is the second week in a row I've given you Michelangelo. You're welcome. This is also from the Sistine Chapel. You'll note here that Jeremiah looks fairly downtrodden and sorrowful. And I don't think Jeremiah really wanted to be a prophet. And I want to talk about that a little bit today. We don't really get his lamentations or his vision of the world. What we get today in the story that Nancy read for us is his call to prophecy. And I'd like to reflect on that with you, especially in terms of our own personal calls to faith. So together, let us look at this invitation in a hard world. Would you pray with me, please? God, touch our eyes and our ears, our minds and our hearts, so together this day we might see and hear and truly believe in a way of purpose and presence and possibility. We might believe not just in our hearts and our minds, but we might believe through the words we speak and the living of our lives in each moment. Send us into this world, O God, with faith, that we might speak words of love and hope and joy. All this we pray through the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is perhaps the most common literary trope in all of our biblical scripture. This is a pattern of story that happens all over scripture, Hebrew Bible, Old Testament, right through the New Testament. It's a story that's told over and over again. It's often named a call story. The word of the Lord comes to a human being who is asked to do something, to go, to be something new, to move. The word comes and the human listens and is invited to go, called a call. It's named a call story. We have them all the way back as far as the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve get a call. Moses gets a call. All of the great ancestors get a call. Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Rachel and Leah. God says, I want you to go. I want you to do this. And it starts there and it runs all the way through all of the Gospels. The very last paragraph of the Gospel of Matthew, we've got the risen Christ up on a mountain, and he says, I want you to go and tell. I want you to go. It's an invitation, and it happens over and over again in Scripture. What's unique about Jeremiah is we have this beautiful piece. It happens in the other stories too, but you see it so clearly here, where we get what I would like to call the uncertain human response to this invitation. It's as if when the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah, he says quite clearly, really? I don't think so. Not an unusual human response to a difficult invitation. Really? He says, I'm not old enough for this. But that's what we do, right? I'm not old enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not whatever enough. How about you find someone else? That is Jeremiah's most immediate response. Not an unusual human thing when dealing with the difficulty of trying to live a higher truth in a broken world. It's not an unusual response. But then comes this simple little phrase that I think it happens in all of the call stories, but we usually are reading so much and so interested in what's going on with Jeremiah that we don't listen carefully for something that the word of the Lord says in this moment, which is so important for us, which is really what I might call a foundational statement of our faith happens in this midst when Jeremiah says, really, I'm too young. And the word says, no, you're not too young. You're going to do this. And then this phrase, and you can do it because, and here it comes, I am with you. I am with you. This is a foundational piece of the character of God. And I'm going to make up a word, and Jill hates when I do this. Sorry, honey, I'm going to make up a word. I like to call this the withness of God. W-I-T-H-N-E-S-S. The withness of God, God with us. And everywhere, every single call story mentions this. I am. Not I might be, not if you do X, Y, Z. This isn't some sort of thing that, it's not a bartered thing. It's not a transactional piece. This is the foundational piece. I am. Not maybe, not gonna be, but I am with you right now in what I'm asking and where you're going and what you're doing. This is the piece that starts the whole enterprise of human faith, is a simple trust in this little phrase, with God, with. In Latin, yeah? In Latin, the word with, cum, forms all kinds of great words in our language, yeah? Communion, to be with us at the table. Companion, meaning us together. Pano is bread, right? To break bread with. This is my friend who I eat with. Community. We are with each other. It's what we give thanks for. I don't know if you ever pay attention to every word I say in worship, but every Sunday in my invocation, I thank God that we are together. We get to be together. That's part of this enterprise, the withness of God. All of this great faith action in the world begins with us acknowledging, yeah, maybe we're a little young or old. Maybe we're not quite strong enough or smart enough. But the idea is that we are instruments of something bigger. Something greater is at play. A greater purpose for what's going on. Whether it's as tiny as the work we do at First Church or as enormous as creating peace in the world, there is a purpose undergirding. We we trust that in the withness of God. And there is a greater presence. It's what we've been talking about all summer about Pentecost, the idea that there is a spirit at play and at work in us and around us and through us. And what that leads to is a greater possibility. Even when it seems most bleak, which it felt like to Jeremiah, the crying prophet. I don't want to go speak about truth and hope and peace and joy in the world because it's messed up. I don't know that anyone's going to listen. I don't think they're going to care. I don't know if it's going to change anything. I'm not sure about any of those things. And yet God says, go and speak. Tell them about hope and about peace and about joy. These call stories are invitations to us. We are called like Jeremiah in a troubled world. And I bet there are days that you cry about the brokenness of this world. We are weeping prophets, and yet the crux of all of our faith begins with this simple trust that we still speak because God has gently touched our lips and said, "You won't do this alone. I am with you." God is with us. So let us speak words of hope and joy and peace, words of love and possibility, not just here, but let us take them out and speak them to the world. Amen.